Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Everybody, and welcome. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schott. I'm here with Mark Pascal. Together, we own Stage Left Restaurant in New Brunswick, and we're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. Listen to us every day from 11 a.m. to 12 noon, and you can reach us through restaurantguysradio.com, where you can also find out how to podcast us. Now, that doesn't mean you need an iPod. It just means that if you want to subscribe to our podcast, our new shows will be sent to your computer every time you boot up or to your iPod, so you can listen to us everywhere.
And that's exciting.
It is exciting indeed.
Not just for us.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Francis.
I'm
just teasing.
I don't know what happened there. I want to talk about a couple of... In the last week, we've both had some pretty extraordinary restaurant experiences.
Some really nice restaurants right here in New Jersey.
And let me tell you something. I think there are a lot of nice restaurants in New Jersey. And I think there are a lot of restaurants which have very good food on a number of different genres, but the truly fine dining restaurants, they're really, you know, being next to New York is sort of a blessing and a curse. If you put New Jersey in the middle of the country, you know, it would be known as one of the best restaurant states around. People would fly to New Jersey.
Right.
Because we are so near New York, a lot of the great fine dining restaurants, so many of the great fine dining restaurants are in New York, which is the food capital certainly of the United States, or at least the fine dining restaurant capital of the United States, and possibly the world. I mean, it really does vie with Paris.
I don't think so.
Well,
Parisian restaurants better than New
York. But there is a lot of opinion that says, especially for fine dining, there's a lot of respected opinion out there that points to that in New York. Now, in New Jersey, we do a lot of things well, but fine dining is something that top of the mark fine dining is something that's been building slowly over time. You can't walk every block or two and find a great restaurant.
One of the things you just said is it's a blessing and a curse, and that maybe people don't look at us in as high regard as they might otherwise because we're so close to New York City. But at the same time, we have access to so many great products because we are so close in proximity to New York City. So many great wines that aren't available in other places in the country. So many great products that may not be as available as fresh as we can get them in this area. And such a diverse amount of products
that we can get. We spoke to recently Jen Castle and Blake Spalding, who have a restaurant out in Boulder, Utah, population 108. And the way they get fresh produce is, well, they grow it themselves. You know,
And one of the things they said is there's no such thing as fresh produce, though.
Fresh seafood. Yeah.
Because all they have are some local streams, and the fish that are indigenous to those streams they have.
Farm-raised trout is all they do.
Yeah, that's the only fish that they have on their menu. Where we have New York City's port right here, where fish are coming in fresh from all over, the ocean.
And it's great because, you know, we're so close and connected by highways. We do send our people into the green market in New York because that is where the best green markets are right now if you want to hit a lot of farmers in one place. And we do get to go to the fish market and the meat market in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. It is really just amazing. And we have so many diners with great taste that it's nice to see fine dining restaurants, I mean truly fine dining world-class restaurants opening in New Jersey. And I think we want to talk about two of them.
Mm-hmm. When we're bashing restaurants, we don't give you the names of restaurants.
Right, but
when we're saying we love them, we can give you the names. So that's a little bit more exciting for us.
And it's still a small clique of restaurants. I mean, we like to consider ourselves part of this clique. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But I think Restaurant Nicholas is in there.
Sure.
I think the Ryland Inn is certainly up there.
It has been a great restaurant for a long time.
But a new restaurant is owned by a guy named David Drake. Mm-hmm. And David Drake, in the spirit of full disclosure, is a friend of ours. We worked with him many years ago, but he is one of the best chefs cooking in New Jersey. And he used to own the Stage House Inn in Scotch Plains, New Jersey. It's a town. And he had that for 10 years. And he hasn't been cooking for a while. He left that establishment. It's under some very good new ownership. But he opened his dream restaurant. And let me tell you something. This boy can dream. David Drake opened Restaurant David Drake in Rahway, New Jersey, which is a town that's struggling to
recapsize.
To revitalize itself. To come back. Now, Rahway is a small town. And they're working very hard. They've made a lot of positive changes in Rahway. Mm. But, you know, Rahway is home to a state prison, you know.
Well,
Rahway has some unfortunate...
The problem is that is its claim to fame.
And it has some unfortunate economic history, and it's really working to go overcome them. There's nothing that I can think of better to draw me to Rahway. All right, there's nothing that would draw me to Rahway. But I have been to Restaurant David Drake, and it is just, it's one man's vision, and it is the perfect chef-owned restaurant because it's a number of small rooms, a perfect little wine cellar, you know, lovingly restored old building, and David can basically cook all the food himself. And that's one of the things that I think is very interesting. When you go to a celebrity chef's restaurant, the chef himself is not usually cooking that food.
Right, but David Drake is a celebrity chef who's there.
And, boy, was it fabulous. I mean, it was on a very small scale. It reminded me of, like, the urban East Coast version of visiting the French Laundry for the first time. The dining experience, the food was fabulous, and the wine list was great. So that's David Drake Restaurant in Rahway. I can't recommend it highly enough. And they have a website that we'll put up, daviddrakes.com, DAVIDDRAKES, and we're going to put that up on our website later on. Really fabulous, perfect, careful food.
Yeah, I also got to go to a restaurant within the last week or so in New Jersey that I found really, really excellent. A place called the Pluckerman Inn, obviously in Pluckerman, New Jersey, in the Bridgewater area there. And I found the restaurant really, and this is more of a high-design restaurant. This is a restaurant with a giant wine tower kind of going up three stories, and you could see up through the wine tower
Schlocky
for three
tasteful.
Stores. Very tasteful.
Yeah.
Very, very tasteful.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that surprised me, no linen on the tables, hardwood tables, mm-hmm. but very, very high design. Some of the food was really, really excellent. Everything was well thought out. I felt that they really had a good grasp of service as well as food. I think that the ambiance of the place was by far the best area of the restaurant,
now,
as it was beautiful, beautiful place.
Now, so many of our listeners are very far away and will never be able to go to these restaurants.
Sure.
What do you think, you know, makes a place like the Pluckerman Inn, when you said it, what sets it apart from other restaurants that are kind of pretenders to the throne?
Well, first thing, anybody can have a beautiful restaurant. Okay, you can.
Right.
All you need is a little bit of money, and you can have a lot of money, and you can have a beautiful restaurant with beautiful plates and.
Mm-hmm.
But it starts with an attitude, and when you walk into the Pluckerman Inn, and much as you walk into David Drake or some of the other restaurants that you mentioned before, you walk in and there's a feel in the place that you're going to be taken care of, and that somebody really wants to take care of you and wants to make sure that you have a great dining experience.
What makes you feel that way?
Well, it's they're gracious.
Mm-hmm.
You walk in the door and they're gracious, and someone is immediately there to greet you when you walk in the door, and that someone wants to bring you a cocktail as soon as you get there, and when you sit down, you're made to feel very, very comfortable when you arrive, and there's a nice wine list. Obviously, the Pluckerman Inn has a really spectacular wine list with a lot of breath.
You know, you remind me of the time that we had dinner.
You know what you remind me of?
me of the time that we had dinner at a place called Alain Ducasse. Alain Ducasse is in New York now, but this is when he first had his restaurant in Paris. And we were in Paris, fortunately, and we had one of the best meals of our lives. And
I can say that was the best meal of my life.
And as we left, we talked about what made it really great. And they had all these fabulous, I mean, the building was fabulous. Everything was not in the current location. It was in a prior location. It was in the old Paul Robuchon place. And for all of the finery, for all of the beautiful things that went on there, we always got the feeling that they had done it all for us, that the staff was very solicitous of us, and that they had made us feel that it was all done for
us.
Each
thing that they were doing made you feel special and important.
As opposed to, you go to some restaurants and they make you feel like they try to make you feel like you're lucky to be having dinner there.
Right.
And that is just the opposite of being gracious. You were talking about restaurants with the Restaurant Guys. We're going to talk about a couple of restaurants in New York in a moment. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey 1450, and the time is 11:15. Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, We were talking in the last segment about a couple of restaurants in New Jersey that are really exceptional, and we're going to be talking about another restaurant right now that is pretty exceptional, and it's in New York, but it's not in Manhattan. It's in Greenpoint in Brooklyn, and we're talking with Liza Queen, who is the owner of the Queen's Hideaway. Hello, Liza.
Hello.
Liza, welcome to our show.
Hey, thanks.
Thanks for coming to join us. Now, your restaurant, we first came to our notice when we read about the way that you do business, which is pretty unconventional for around here. You don't have a set menu. Is that correct?
No, we don't really.
What, are you crazy?
Yes. But, you know, it's not because I'm ambitious. It's just because of the way, because of the farmers we deal with, you know.
Uh-huh.
So you just pretty much cook whatever you feel like?
Yes, I really do.
Well, so how did the idea to do a restaurant like this come about? And then how did you pull it off?
Well, we've only been two months then, I guess, so I wouldn't say we pulled it off yet. And really, it just evolved kind of organically because I get most of my meat and dairy and some cheese through Farm to Chef Express, which I don't know if you know. It's about like 11 farms, and you order through one lady, and then they put it together and bring it to you. But what happens is, you know, there's only so many animals they can slaughter is really how it works out.
Right,
so
of course.
The amount of meat that I can get ends up being really small. And so what happens is we've gotten really busy and we've run out of things. And so then it's really, I swear it's not because I'm ambitious. It's just because, oh, God, we're out of this. We have a hoof and, like, some berries, you know.
So, Liza, could you do me a favor?
Sure.
When I come for dinner, could I have the berries and not the hoof?
Oh, you might, you know, you'd be surprised.
Well, now, how did you come to think that you could? I mean, most people would not go forge ahead with this sort of a thing. Where did you come from that you said, all right, I'm going to open a restaurant and we're going to cook whatever I feel like cooking that day?
Well, you know, I ran a kitchen out in Portland, Oregon for a long time.
Well, you were out there for almost 10 years, weren't you?
Yeah, I was.
So what made you go to Brooklyn?
Oh, well, my family is up in Syracuse.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't know. Portland eaters are somewhat unadventurous. You know what it was? I put a poor boy on the menu, and no one knew what it was.
Mm.
And I got really bitter. And no one. And they were on the West Coast. They wouldn't eat. They were scared of oysters.
I'm sorry. One more time. So you moved back to the East Coast because nobody would eat a po' boy?
Well, kind of. Or no one knew what it was.
Now, when you, they wouldn't eat oysters in Portland?
Yeah. Well, you know, yes and no. But it freaked. You know, certain foods would freak people out, and I just found myself having to limit the menu or have to kind of, you know, describe things in certain ways so as people wouldn't get scared. And I have a lot of family and friends out here, you know, in Brooklyn and Syracuse.
Mm-hmm. And,
just knew what it was like.
You sound like a woman who doesn't like to be limited.
No, apparently not.
And so can you tell us how you do this? I mean, how do you decide what's going to be on your menu every day? You get up in the morning, you go to the Green Market, you see what's there.
Yes.
How does this happen?
That is exactly what happened. I mean, we go through the Farm to Chef. I see what animals are available and what cuts pretty much that we can afford or what I can throw in the smoker and seems appropriate.
Uh-huh.
And then we go to the Green Market and I see what's around. And then, you know, and that's how it starts at the beginning of the week. And then truthfully, by the end of the week, it really is like, okay, we've got the bone from this picnic. We've got some beans. I got some queso left. And it's just being wily is all it is. It's just kind of like really taking a good look at what we've got around.
Sounds like me and my refrigerator.
Well, it's kind of true. I mean, that's like the real deal home cooking. It's like kind of how it works. It's like, what do you got? Luckily, what I have around is pretty much the best stuff you can get. So.
We had on the show earlier Blake Spaulding and Jen Castle, who wrote a book called Hell's Backbone Grill, which is about a fabulous restaurant that they run by Buddhist principles, an organic restaurant that they run out in Boulder, Utah, population 108, out in the middle of the desert. And it seems that you run yours very much the same way, except you're in Brooklyn.
Except you decided to go where the people are.
Like, they can't get stuff. You're like a flying on your own. Hey, just so everybody knows out there, the name of the restaurant is the Queen's Hideaway, and we're talking with Liza Queen. This is a restaurant on Franklin Street in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, and we're talking with Liza. Now, it sounds like, well, this sounds like a restaurant that's on a shoestring. Why would I go there? This is a restaurant that's getting a lot of attention. I have friends in Brooklyn who've dined with you, and they say great things about your food. You were featured in the $25 and under column, a very favorable article by Peter Meehan in the New York Times. And it's very unusual to see a restaurant like yours getting such acclaim. You must be a very talented chef.
Oh.
Am I making you blush?
You almost sound like, oh, gosh. Did you just say, oh, gosh?
I might have. I don't know. You know, it's just as much of a surprise to us because we just this was never, I mean, I wanted to obviously survive and do well and be able to cook, but this is really, really unexpected.
Well, I think that one of the reasons you're getting the success that you are is it's really a reflection of how people want to eat right now. And what they want to know is that there's a connection to the place that their food came from. There's a connection to the farm. There's a connection to the, you know, where the chickens are, where the eggs come from, where everything that you're getting is coming from somebody that you know. And people, and that's a reflection of what's happening in food right now.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm listening.
How do you find that people react to the ever-changing menu, to there not being a set menu that they can know what to expect?
Well, you know, truthfully, we had imagined it as a neighborhood joint. So, and part of the reason, actually, was... You know, you get sick of the food. You don't want to walk that far. You just want a meal. And, like, even though you love this one place, you've eaten the same thing a million times. And so I think, actually, certainly the people in the neighborhood are really, really happy about it.
Our guest is Liza Queen. She's the owner of the Queen's Hideaway on Franklin Street in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. And she's getting a lot of attention for a very unconventional restaurant. And we're going to be talking more with her in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:25.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hey, you're back with the Restaurant Guys. We are here talking with Liza Queen, owner of the Queen's Hideaway, which is getting a lot of attention. It's a restaurant in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, where there is no set menu. You eat what Liza's cooking that night. Hi, Liza.
Hi.
We were talking about how... You envisioned your place as a neighborhood restaurant, but here you are getting all this attention citywide, and actually even larger than citywide. We're in another state talking
to
you.
People trekking out from Jersey to go to your restaurant.
Who's coming to your restaurant?
Oh, it is definitely more than the neighborhood. We've been getting calls from all over the place. We don't take reservations. I don't know. People are coming from Manhattan now. People are coming from upstate now. Truthfully, you know, I'm on the line, so a lot of times I don't know. But I've heard our answering machine, and I answer the phone once in a while, and so I know that people are coming outside of Greenpoint, which really just shocked us. Really,
how do people feel about waiting an hour to get into your restaurant?
They don't. We've made things a lot smoother. I think it's like a half hour now.
Okay.
I think that they wait and they get angry and then they eat and they leave really happy.
I'm the same way. You can win me over with food any day of the week. Now, you're a chef owner. How do you manage service in your restaurant? Who's doing the service in your restaurant, and how do you control that?
Well, you know, I'm really lucky. I basically imported all my nearest and dearest from, like, Chicago and Portland. And so the lady that runs the front of the house, we work together at the restaurant out in Portland. The woman that's working with me in the kitchen, she's, you know, I know her from college. So I just basically, like, imported my family.
Yeah, we made all our old friends work for us when we opened, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Same,
I mean, that's the only way to
story.
Do it, right?
You have to. Yeah.
Actually, Liza, we're about to open our second restaurant. We've called every old friend. We're like, guys who used to work for us, one guy was like, but I'm a stockbroker now. I'm like, yeah, I need you to pick up Saturday nights. I don't care, stockbroker, schmockbroker.
Literally, I made about 30 phone calls last week saying, guys, we're getting the band back together. Come on.
Oh, my God, that's totally how I feel.
Yeah, it's really, you know, it is like a family when you work in a restaurant like that. Now, how big is your place?
It's pretty small. We have about 22 seats inside and then maybe 20 outside.
And I understand you have no air conditioning?
Yeah, that's true.
Are you familiar with this tune, See You in September?
Yes, I am. You know, I've never worked in an air-conditioned restaurant.
From Portland.
Oh, yeah, right.
you never worked in Florida either. Welcome back to Brooklyn, Liza. Our guest is Liza Queen. She's the owner of the Queen's Hideaway in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, and she's cooking very untraditionally and to great success and much acclaim that we're heaping on her right now. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450, and the time is 11:30.
Hello, everybody. in. Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal here with my partner, Francis Schott. We own Stage Left Restaurant in New Brunswick, New Jersey, and we're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon or reach us through restaurantguysradio.com, or now you can podcast us on your iPod. You can go to iTunes or Podcast Alley or one of those other cool places to download us onto your computer or onto your iPod.
We're here talking. Our guest today is Liza Queen. She's the owner of the Queen's Hideaway, which is a fabulous little restaurant, very casual restaurant in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, where she cooks every day based on what's at the green market. In other words, she figures out what she's cooking that night, well, that day when she goes to the market. Hey, Liza?
Yes.
What you gonna do in January?
You know, a lot of people have been asking me that.
A snow pie. Serve carrot stew.
Bark.
Everyone loves root vegetables,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Brown, all brown all the time.
No, you know, by the end of summer, I actually get, you know, start to get very excited about braises and soups.
Mm-hmm. I love the foods of fall. Love the foods
yeah.
of fall.
All right,
one of the things you're talking about is that you do the always on your menu is some smoked item. I understand mm-hmm. you're having a little trouble with your smoker today.
Oh, yes.
Is it with the smoker or with the smokies?
I'm having a little trouble with my landlord. Who I'm telling you, our neighbors are so wonderful, but there's one lady who really doesn't like it, and we've tried to work it out with her. And
bring her some brisket.
Well, that's what we brought her. Listen, we brought her pie. I didn't bring her the smoked food because I thought it might send her over the edge. but we did bring her pie. Truthfully, I don't know. It's actually getting kind of ugly. I don't know. I don't know. Well, gotta have the smoker, though.
Gotta have the smoker. I understand it as one of your signatures. Do you always have a smoked dish on your menu?
There's always some kind of smoked meat and some kind of smoked seafood.
Hey, I gotta ask you. There's an article that I'm reading here. It talks about for an entree that you did of a smoked buffalo brisket, tender slices served atop slices of Wonder Bread with onions and a whiskey sauce.
Yeah, you hurt me with that one.
I gotta say, everything I've read about you, I'm like, oh yeah, that looks good. I'd like to have that. Huh?
It has to be Wonder Bread. That's just the deal.
What? So give me the deal, Liza. Why has it got to be Wonder Bread?
You know, I think that's actually a Texas thing. I don't know. I just maybe it doesn't have to be Wonder Bread, but it has to be that just truly awful white bread that sops up all the grease.
All right, Liza. Remember, our tagline is food, wine, and the finer things in life. Wonder Bread is none of them.
Yeah, but they sell Wonder Bread at the corner store.
Yeah, that's true. It's neighborhood cuisine.
And we'll be able to get that in January.
Yes, exactly.
Do you know there's a restaurant called Home? Have you ever eaten at Home in Manhattan?
No.
It's on Cornelia Street, and it's about 12 years old. It's owned by our friends Barbara Shin and David Page, who now also own a vineyard out on Long Island. And that's what they always used to say about their place. They said it was neighborhood cuisine. You know, Ottomanelli's meat market was in their neighborhood, and they would get everything sourced in the neighborhood, which, of course, if your neighborhood is New York City, you know, it's a heck of a lot easier than if you're, like, in Flagstaff, Arizona, I guess.
Or that place in Utah you were talking about.
Or the place in Utah, exactly. Well, so I'll come in and I'll give the Wonder Bread a chance, but I will hold it against you.
Oh, you know, fair enough. Fair enough. You know, I don't know. It doesn't have to be Wonder Bread, but it's there.
Yeah. I mean, so how does your restaurant work when you come in to dine at your restaurant? Are there several choices on the menu, or are the choices very limited based on what you're having that day, like it, or go to another restaurant?
No, I try and always have like five entrees, five sides. The desserts are kind of limited. It's pretty much pie and my ice cream maker broke. It was always pie and ice cream,
mm-hmm.
and the ice cream maker broke. So now it's pie and custard.
Word on the street is that your pies are getting famous.
Hey, not my pie. That is Miss Millicent Soros, who's
nice.
With me in the kitchen.
Now, you have a very small kitchen there. Now, you're open for dinner five nights a week, is that correct?
Four nights a week.
Four nights a week, and it's just dinner only.
It is five nights a week. Sorry, it's Wednesday. Yeah, that
would
be five.
There are seven. You're close to. Let me see if I can do that math. Definitely five.
Yes, 5 days a week.
Now, is it a very tight kitchen? I mean, what time do you guys start in the morning? I mean, does somebody come in the morning and start baking the pies? Or, I mean, we opened our own restaurant about 13 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I'm surprised I survived. I thought it was going to kill me. Are you working crazy hours?
Oh, yeah. We're working from pretty much 8 in the morning until, I don't know, 12:30 at night.
Sounds like a restaurant.
That's 6 days a week, you know, because we're not open on Tuesday, but we're in there prepping, and then there's, like, all that, you know, massive paperwork.
Oh, yeah.
All that fun stuff. So, no, we are working insane hours. But, you know, that kitchen's tiny, but we were really, because we had to, at first it was just one of us on the line, And now we've added a second guy kind of expediting and, like, doing, you know, appetizers. And I'm amazed at how well it works with all of us. It's tiny.
And how do you find New York City as a place? Now, you've worked in a couple of places across the country. How do you find New York City as a place to do business? Now, you're a small operation. It's really hard to, I think, deal with a lot of the regulations and the legal matters having to do with restaurants and the zoning and all that stuff. Yeah. How are you finding that?
Well, I'm glad it's over, kind of. I mean, it's mostly over. It was really hellish opening it. I used to just think, like, I don't know, I guess Mexico City might be worse.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
How did you get from, I mean, where was the genesis of the idea? And how did you find the space? And how did you get this place open? It seems like an unlikely venture, and I think that's one of the things that's really interesting about it.
Fair enough. Because, you know, there wasn't, Greenpoint is a fairly open thing. You know, there's Polish food, there's pizza, there's Thai food. There's a really great, actually, Caribbean restaurant down the street from me. Mm-hmm. But pretty much that was it. So I knew that if I opened up this place, that because I knew who I knew how I felt, that I was hungry and there was nowhere to eat. And I knew that I could pretty much do what I wanted because there was no other place that said, well, oh, your Mexican food sucks because there's this authentic Mexican place up the street, you know?
Right.
No one would know any better.
Right. Yes. It's queen food. That's what it's supposed
Liza,
to be like.
Liza, you are killing me. I got to tell you, you're just killing me. But seriously, Liza, now, my biggest problem with bacon pies in the restaurant, and thank goodness we don't bake pies in our restaurant.
Yes.
But bacon, I would never get a chance, they would never get a chance to cool. I'd be taking that first slice out while it was still hot all the time, making a big gooey mess out of the whole thing.
Oh, you know, at 98 degrees when you make them, I don't make them, but when Millicent makes them, I know, Millicent, you want to eat your pies? She actually never eats them, but they're really good.
Now, how do you think you came to be getting all this citywide attention and this more than citywide attention when your plan was to open up a neighborhood place?
Yeah, why do we care so much?
When did it pop?
You know, I've had just like these several guardian angels is really what it is. That lady, there was a woman at Time Out, Debbie Koenig, who wrote an article about us, and I think that's how Peter Meehan came in. And then I had done food styling when I first got here for this lady, Ann Distrud, and she works for Gourmet, and so... And this late Julie Benz over at EC has just been, I've just been really lucky. I just have these people that are kind of like watching over me and just being incredibly helpful and just spreading the word, which I'm kind of speechless about it. I can't even believe it. I'm really grateful.
Well, I'll tell you, Liza, the thing about it is it's great that you knew those people and things fell into place for you. But the fact of the matter is if the food wasn't there, the people wouldn't keep coming back and we wouldn't keep talking about you. And so you can take that as a compliment.
Well, thanks.
And our guest today is Liza Queen. She owns the Queen's Hideaway on Franklin Street in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. And she's cooking some really interesting, very market-based cuisine and very much on a shoestring and on the fly. Aren't you ever afraid in the morning that you're not going to know what you're going to be cooking that night?
There won't be any food in the Greenpoint.
Yeah. You know, I'm getting less afraid, though. It's getting more – actually, it's starting to be more fun. In the beginning, it was It was very nerve-wracking, and now it's starting to be like, oh, yeah, what you got for me today, you know?
So, but seriously, we joked earlier about, you know, January and not having a green market and those kinds of resources.
No, because I'm still going to be able to get my meat, you know, my really fabulous, fabulous quality meat. And that's going to go a long way. And, you know, you can go a long way with stocks and breads and root vegetables. I really believe that. Because I know usually this may not be true this year. I'm actually really enjoying it because I never had a green market like this. But I usually, by the end of summer, am starting to get really excited about, you know, because people want, like collard greens. Everyone keeps asking me because I had them on the menu in the beginning.
Uh-huh.
But it's like I got to make the stock all day long and then, you know, the greens cook forever. And I'm like, I'm not doing it. It's 98 degrees in my kitchen. So I'm actually, and you know, my building is not in great shape and the heat isn't fabulous. So truthfully, it's going to be just wonderful to have stock pots going 24/7.
Right, to heat yourself and warm yourself.
And body heat will work very nicely in the winter.
No, it will be warm, I promise.
Liza, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk with us here in the restaurant, guys. It's really great. We're going to put a link up with all your information on it on our website so people can go and find you.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thanks again. Take care.
Keep serving those $11 entrees. Yeah. People are loving it.
You got it.
We're all in. You're listening to the restaurant, guys. Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:45.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys. We had with us today Liza Queen of Queen's Hideaway out in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. She opened a really cool little place, little neighborhood joint is how she described it. And one of the things I liked about it is there's no pretense. It's about having a good time and going and enjoying yourself.
The food that she cooks that day.
And I really like that there's no snobbery around it, and you can have the finer things in life without snobbery. You know, we talked just a week or two ago about this book, this tour guide called Le Carné, made by Rachel Brulé and Eric de Lavandria, who we nicknamed Creme Brulee and Lavender Man.
The snootiest people in the world.
Because they were so ridiculously snooty that Creme Brulee and Lavender Man wrote about their travail across these horrible, horrible places.
Where they're getting a pedicure.
Where people were not nearly snooty enough for them.
Yeah.
And being great, being a finer thing in life, is not about being snooty. It's not about being hoity-toity. It's about being great and being special. Well, and there are a lot of special things out there that are not necessarily expensive.
And I think the point is that we're, you know, you don't need to be expensive in order to be great. And I think there are a lot of restaurants that I really like to go to that aren't very expensive. I mean,
sure.
And look, I love to go to a super fine dining restaurant and experience the caviar and the foie gras and that whole shebang.
Right, and spend 6 hours having dinner.
But I also like to go to Rutt's Hut for a hot dog. Which is, you know, a place where you get a fried hot dog.
It's up in Clifton, just outside of Nutley.
46.
It's on 21, actually.
21, yeah. out in North Jersey.
Anyway, so good.
You know, to go for the best hot dog, life is short. Mm. And, you know, I'd rather go for a great hot dog than some mediocre Bennigan somewhere where I'm going to get, you know, some frozen hamburger patty.
There's a place in Lyndhurst that we always went to. It's a little pastry shop. Okay, you're talking about $1.50, $2 for a pastry. Lyndhurst Pastry Shop in Lyndhurst had the most delicious, extraordinary pastries, especially Italian pastries. And I'm not big on any Italian cookies, but really good Italian pastries. And usually was, you know, had a few people, and it was a busy little pastry shop. But diagonally across the street from Lyndhurst Pastry Shop was a pastry shop called Mazer's, which was all about...
Still is, right?
It's still there. It's owned by different people now, and frankly, it's a little better than it used to be. But it was owned by these folks, and it was all about show. And Mazer's was a much more beautiful facility than Lyndhurst Pastry Shop. It was a much more ornate place. And Mazer's was packed, just all the time packed. And I've talked about this with other foodies from the area. Actually, Anthony Giglio is from Lyndhurst and just across the river, and I was talking to him once about this. You know, people would pack into Mazer's when just across the street was this tiny little place that wasn't about the show, that wasn't about the pomp and circumstance. This little pastry shop was magnificent. The pastries were delicious and fresh and really, really good all the time. And more people went to Mazer's because it was a better show.
Anthony Giglio is originally from North Jersey and lives in North Jersey still, but he's a wine columnist for Boston Magazine, and he's a reviewer for New Jersey Life Magazine, and he's a real foodie as well. So I would take his opinion on that as well. You know, my favorite thing is when you look for the quality versus the schlock, and I obsess about this, and I drive my family crazy. When you go to an amusement park or carnival, wherever you live there, where the classic American thing is waffles and ice cream. It's sort of the precursor to the ice cream cone.
I love waffles and ice cream.
And they'll make you a little thing. I mean, the ice cream is usually kind of mediocre to poor. But sometimes it's homemade, and they put them on waffles. Well, when I was a kid, there would always be all these when we would go to Seaside Park, New Jersey, which is a shore town that has, you know, the stands that every kid can, you know, go on the rides and do whatever. We would get waffles and ice cream. Well, it began to change, and I must have been like 12, and already I was a foodie driving my parents crazy, because those kiosks changed over, and a lot of them didn't pour the batter and make the waffles fresh anymore. They used frozen waffles.
Yeah.
And they would put them in the toaster and then put your ice cream on them. And I thought,
Lego my ego, man. Never mind. You can have it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the difference between going to one of those stands and having somebody make you a waffle and put ice cream on the hot waffle and a little powdered sugar on the top, and the frozen Eggo waffle, you know, it's an assault against American taste.
It's
when people
so
say,
wrong.
Oh, I can't taste the difference, what's the difference? Well, it's a big difference, and I think that's a step in. I think that's a step toward healthy eating,
mm-hmm.
because when you understand taste and you demand that things taste good, you have an appreciation for the food itself.
And there's also something about those old waffle irons where you flipped them over and popped them out of that thing. There's something just kind of aesthetically pleasing about that.
And you have the smell about it, but mm-hmm. but also I think that the part of eating a wholesome diet, eating a good food is, yeah, there's room for ice cream. There's room for cake. But you know what? It should taste good.
And I always have room for ice cream and cake, Francis.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is don't waste the calories on a Twinkie. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you've got the opportunity to have
a
beautiful...
How about a deep-fried Twinkie?
Exactly. Not that either. But if you have the opportunity to have a really great piece of cake,
mm-hmm.
you know, well, have a piece of cake. You know, but don't stop by and get the ho-hos on the way home.
Right.
You know, and that's why I say, you know, I'm not going to have a frozen waffle with ice cream on mm-hmm. it. You know, if I can go and be down the shore and sort of relive my childhood and have a great waffle and ice cream, that's what I'm going to do.
You know what's really unfair?
What's that?
The fact that we have a chef to cook us whatever we want. And, and you know, it's just not right. It's just not fair.
It should make dieting easier.
It should, but yet we still are both, the two of us, a little bit overweight, aren't we?
A little bit overweight, I would say, is a kind way. We have faces made for radio and bodies to match, is what
yeah,
I would say.
Well,
I still enjoy the finer things in life, and I think that to eat wholesomely, even if you're a little overweight, is better than to eat, you know, prefabbed stuff and less quality stuff. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:55.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark Pascal and Francis Schott. We had a great chef by the name of Liza Queen on earlier, who owns a restaurant called Queen's Hideaway in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, and we're going to put that up on our website for you. And one of the things that we really liked about the restaurant is there's no pretense. She goes to the green market, she buys what she buys, and she brings it home, and that's what she cooks for you that night. And like it or lump it, there it is. You can go someplace else if you don't like what she's cooking. But she's using really, really premium ingredients and making really good food and doing it really affordably. I mean, her entrees are $10, $11 an
entree. Well, and I think one of the things that's very interesting is she did this with rather – I mean, this was born out of the ambition to cook in a limited way for the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
But it resonates with people.
Right.
And the reason she's
but we think
on
it's
our...
so cool we're coming from Jersey to go to Brooklyn.
Well, the reason that she's on our show and the reason that she's getting all the press that she's getting, and she's getting a lot of press, is because this is an idea that resonates. People want sort of good food at an affordable price that's mm-hmm. based in the green market, cooked by somebody with love who's a little bit talented, or someone who's very talented in this case. And, you know, we'll give up all that choice. We'll give up all the hype. And we don't always want to go to a high-design, expensive restaurant where the beautiful people are. It's just too much work for
Nothing
me.
Like a great slice of pizza.
Yeah.
That's what we were talking about in the last segment, is that it doesn't have to be expensive to be great and to be very, very enjoyable. Sometimes those comfort foods are the best possible thing that you could eat as far as enjoyment goes.
And the other thing is to bear in mind that sometimes it can be expensive and be terrible. You know, I mean... And the fact of the matter is, I think the idea is to eat thoughtfully mm-hmm. rather than to obsess about how many calories are in every little thing that you have. Are you eating wholesome, good food as part of your lifestyle? And if you can take the time to really enjoy that, mm-hmm. you're going to have a more balanced lifestyle than if you're shoving ho-hos in your mouth as you're driving in your car.
Sure. But and as a kid, you know, what was ever better than going to the local ice cream shop? We used to go to a place in Bloomfield called Holstein's, which is still there today.
Right.
And it was a little candy shop and a great little ice cream parlor, and truly an ice cream parlor. And those kinds of places, they were great, and the food was delicious, and it wasn't expensive.
And in your life, you have a different appreciation for that if you don't have a gallon of ice cream in your refrigerator all the time, and you've restored a little bit of balance.
You know what? I still have a gallon of ice cream in my fridge all the time, and I still want to go to Holstein's and sit at that booth and have a good time and talk to my friends and socialize and enjoy that.
Let's go there now. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 12 noon.